There's something out there. Now, I'm not sure at what age a boy develops his wanderlust. It evolves before the teenage years, you know, kick-starting with a kind of a vague sort of gravitational pull. A siren wooing him into the streets, where a young man cruises up and down suburban blocks on his bike or skateboard, or travels in a pack of best friends, shuffling along oven-baked summer sidewalks, searching earnestly for something, anything, that'll pass for boyhood enlightenment. The grand prize would be a cute girl, preferably a popular one. You know, the type that never seems to notice boys like him in school. Or maybe it would simply be stumbling upon an abandoned piece of junk. Something with motors, cogs, and complicated gadgets. Or better yet, an amazing treasure. Like a lost wallet thick with big bills. Maybe it would be something as pedestrian as laying a penny on the railroad tracks and then holding it a moment later after the Northern Pacific caboose passed over it. And you could feel the warmth of its pancaked metamorphosis in your adolescent palm. It could happen in front of a 7-Eleven while sucking a cola Slurpee through a red straw and praying a Mickey Mantle card would somehow magically appear underneath some gum-stained Washington senator as you flip through annoying 200 hitters sifting for the grail. Or there were times you stalked the alleys holding your Crossman pellet gun, trying to wing a bird or a squirrel, bragging to your best pal that you didn't really know anyone that could outshoot you. And then circumstances align and you drop a crow with a remarkable shot, not even using a stationary prop to steady your aim. Your pal exclaims his admiration, and you swell with pride. Yet years later, you look back and wonder just how in the world you could have killed anything back then, other than maybe a bullhead or a mosquito. Dribbling your ABA basketball, you head fake a mailbox, spin around the fire hydrants, or pump your blue stingray down shady old growth blocks. Your mitt dangling from your handlebars, in the hope that maybe some kid half as bored as you might want to come out and play catch. But maybe he's got a kid brother and you could even play pickle or 500. The humid summer days expel their suffocating drudgery. And as much as you hated school, you feel like you're going to burst if something doesn't happen soon. Then, finally, when you think you just can't take another step without screaming to the gods of adventure that you need something fresh, something exciting to enter your life. And there you see the grand prize swaying down the street alone. She's prisoner to a transistor radio. The zombie's "She's Not There" filters through the orchid wilting evening. The combination of fresh music and feminine mystery fang you in places you didn't even know existed when you woke up that mid-August morning. You stealthily coast up to peek at her face. Your tongue sticks to your rooftop like Velcro. Oh, she's dazzling. Too ridiculously cute to approach. She glances your way and sings along.
Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, and the color of her hair. Her voice was so cold, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
You dart your eyes away quickly as possible. Oh, but her pulchritude overwhelms you. A battalion of electric eels run amok in your loins. Did she see you, you wonder? You are an absolute coward and can't even glance back as you begin to pedal homeward. You try to will a U-turn to ask her something, anything. Her name would do. Or even if she likes slip and slides. But you consider the humiliation if she chooses to ignore you. Oh yeah, she could crush you like a bad melon. Or a bug on a windshield. No, no, this is safer. Risk nothing. Go home. Turn on the TV and pretend like you can forget this whole incident. This random chance for fortune. You're 12 years old. Hey, there'll be plenty of other opportunities, you alibi. But as you watch a Munsters episode for the sixth time, you realize you're lying to yourself. An identical window will never open like that again. And you silently curse yourself for being chicken. Your mom walks in.
Want some lemonade?
She asks if you want some lemonade.
Yeah, okay.
You say, your mind still fleecing regret. Then you compare the lemonade to what you could have experienced moments ago. And you realize for the first time what the blues truly are. For a snapshot, you're no longer a boy. And you promise yourself next time you'll find the courage to do what you wished you could have done. And you wonder, how do other boys talk to girls? What's their trick? You plot ways to ask accelerated boys without sounding obvious. Now, you don't want to be left behind. I mean, come on, junior high starts in just 2 weeks. Tomorrow. Tomorrow you plan to seek those boys' counsel. But of course, deep down, you know you won't.